Romans chapter 3.
De au am roman na tukfa teluan misenle is.
And we're still looking at Romans chapter 3 from verse 21 to 31.
Dem bolam tsetsikian e om roman na tukfa telon din farakem ropul katram rakem telpulo.
So we're going to start by reading through the whole section again.
De uva kitsike indray lay apan you upon you.
Let's read from verse 21 to 31.
Da warva kina ni romana tukfa telo ndin farakem ropul katram farakem telpulo amin arantump. Nesura mandre riambuni ni fana marina nandremanitra mamampona ny mino an Kristy. Fa ankehitriny dia efa nahariary ny fahamarinana avy amin'Andriamanitra. Tsy amin'ny lalàna nefa fambaran'ny lalàna sy ny mpaminany dia ny fahamarinana avy amin'Andriamanitra amin'ny finoana ao an Kristy Jesosy ho amin'izay rehetra mino fa tsy misy hafa. Fa samy efa nanota izy rehetra ka tsy misy manana ny voninahitra avy amin'Andriamanitra, nefa hamarinina mamaimpona amin'ny fahasoavana izy noho ny fanavotana izay ao amin'ny Kristy Jesosy, izay nasehon'Andriamanitra tamin'ny rany ho fanavotana amin'ny finoana, hanehoana ny fahamarinana amin'ny tsy namalian'Andriamanitra ny fahotana lasa tamin'ny nandeferany, mba hanehoana ny fahamarinana kehitriny, mba ho marina izy sady hanamarina izay manana finoana an'i Jesosy. Aiza ary ny firehareana? Efa foana izany. Amin'ny lalàna manao ahoana? Amin'ny lalàna ny asa va? Tsia, fa amin'ny lalàna ny finoana. Koa amin'izany dia ataontsika fa finoana no hanamarinana ny olona, fa tsy amin'ny asan'ny lalàna. Andriamanitra ny jiosy ihany va izy? Fa tsy mba anjentilisa koa? Eny, anjentilisa koa. Fa iray ihany Andriamanitra izay hanamarina ny voafora noho ny finoana ary ny tsy voafora amin'ny finoana. Koa mahafoana ny lalàna amin'ny finoana va isika? Sanatria izany fa mampiorina tsara ny lalàna isika.
Let's pray.
Dao tsika hivavaka.
Heavenly Father, as we study these verses this morning,
Raina izay an-danitra raha hianatra an'ireto andinin-tsoratra masina ireto izay amin'ity maraina ity,
I pray that you'll come and do something deep inside of us.
Mangataka kuni anovano zavatra lalina ho anatina ilalinao.
Holy Spirit, help us to understand.
Fanay masono apio izay atakatra.
Open our eyes.
Sokafana masonay.
That we can see your truth this morning.
Mba fanay mahita ny fahamarinanao amin'ity maraina ity.
In Jesus name.
Ao amin'ny anaran'i Jesosy. Amen.
So I started on this passage last Sunday.
Nanomboka tamin'ny io andalatsoratra masiny io ako tamin'ny alahady lasa.
And I got no further than it's a righteousness from God that's separate from the law.
De tsy tonga lavitra kokoa noho ilay hoe fanamarinana avy amin'Andriamanitra no mampiavaka antsika avy amin'ny lalàna.
Because so many of us are accustomed to trying to earn righteousness.
Satria betsaka amintsika no zatra an'ilay hoe miezaka mahazo ny miezaka mividy ny fanamarinana.
Sometimes it starts as a child just trying to earn the approval of their parent.
Indraindray ilay izy manomboka hatrany amin'ny fahazazana ilay miezaka be mba hahazo ny fankatoavany ray aman-dreniny rehefa tamin'ny mbola kely iny.
Maybe you had a strict parent who never seemed happy with you.
Mety hoe nanana ray aman-dreny izay somary entitra ianao dia ohatrany tsy faly foana aminao.
Maybe there were times in your life you felt like, what must I do to satisfy you? As if your parents were totally unsatisfiable.
Indraindray ngambany ianao efa niteny mihitsy hoe inona ara ny zavatra tsy maintsy ataoko mba hahatonga anao ho afa-po e, raha ohatra ka tena tsy mbola afa-po mihitsy ny ray aman-dreninao amin'ny zavatra nataonao.
Maybe you felt at times you can never be good enough to make them happy.
De indraindray ianao mety efa natsapa hoe mety tsy ampy mihitsy ngamba ny zavatra ho ataoko na ahoana mba hahatonga nyreto ray aman-dreniko reto ho faly.
If I get a C on my report they wanted a B.
Raha mahazo 9/10 ako, 9/20 ako any amin'ny examen dia zareo nefa mitady 15/20.
If I get a B, they wanted an A.
Raha mitady 15/20 zareo, raha mahazo 15/20 ako, zareo mitady 20/20.
If I get an A, they say I shouldn't have a boyfriend.
Dia raha ohatra ka mahazo 20/20 dia hozy zareo hoe tsy tokony ianao sipy ianao na tsy tokony ie tsy tokony
you can never make them happy.
Tsy misy zavatra azonao atao mba hahafaly andry zareo mihitsy.
And sometimes that's how we start looking at things, is like, how much must I do?
Dia indraindray ohatr'izay mihitsy ny fomba fijerintsika ny zavatra hoe inona kay ny zavatra tsy maintsy ataoko.
Today I want to go through 5 questions about the gospel. And the questions are, what is it? How do you receive it? How does it work? How is it even possible? And what are the consequences? Those are the five questions about the gospel. Because this passage of scripture today explains the gospel in a very short, abbreviated form. And we're going to go through those five questions. And the first one is Romans 3 verse 21. It's, what is the gospel? The gospel is righteousness from God. Separate from the law. And this righteousness has been revealed. And it's the righteousness that the law and the prophets testify to, they speak of. So this righteousness is the righteousness of God. So it's His righteousness. And it's offered to us. It comes from God to us. And therein was that was the point that kept me busy the whole of last week. Because it's a righteousness that's separate from the law. It's not the good works you do for God. It's what Jesus did for you. And He gives it to you. And this righteousness, once you've received it, means you're accepted by God. And if you had to ask the question now, what do I have to do to be accepted by God? The answer is, you don't have to do anything to earn His acceptance.
Then finally,
you just have to believe in Jesus. By faith in Jesus Christ, I access the righteousness of God. And that means I'm accepted. Did I get an A, Lord? He looks at Jesus' report card. You got an A, my boy. I'm pleased with you. You know, Jesus, I've got some problems. Heavenly Father, I've got some problems in my life. He looks at Jesus' life. The Father says to you, I've got no problem with you. I know you have problems, but you also have Jesus' righteousness. So you and me, we're okay. But Father, I'm not a good person. I'm pleased with you because of Jesus. So what is the gospel? The first question, what is it? It's righteousness from God. In other words, you don't earn it. You don't have to do anything to gain God's approval.
That sounds
like a good deal.
It's
a good offer.
I
want to take that offer. How do I get it?
I'm
glad you asked.
That's
my second question. How do you receive it?
It's
received by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse
22 to 24.
The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. It comes to us through believing in Jesus. It's for all who believe. Is this righteousness for everybody? Yes.
Yeah.
Does everybody have
it?
No.
Ah.
The righteousness is available for all. God offers it to everybody. But only those who receive it by faith have it. It's righteousness for all who believe. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, then you don't receive the righteousness of God. You don't get it by being a good person. You don't get it by going to church. You don't get it by respecting your parents. You can be sweet, you can be cute. You still do not have this righteousness. You can be respected. But you don't have this righteousness. This righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When you receive this righteousness, you are justified. It means you are set in right standing with God. That happened for me 30 years ago or more. When I first believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I didn't just believe that He existed. I believe that His blood was shed for me. And when I believed, I received righteousness from heaven. And from that day on, I was adopted into God's family. And He became a father who was pleased with me. For years I thought I had to impress Him. But later I came to understand that I was accepted unconditionally. That my right standing with God depends on Jesus' righteousness. I was justified by what Jesus did on the cross. It's finished. When Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai," he declared, "It is finished." With a marketplace declaration, a meaning that a word that is used in the marketplace. To say the price has been paid. My sin debt was paid. I do not have to do anything now to pay God back. If I come to God, I worship Him from a place of freedom. I don't owe Him a repayment. I'm not coming to worship God in some way to try and cancel my sin debt. No, I freely come to worship Him because He is glorious and worthy. Can you see in verse 24? Justified by His grace as a gift. It's a free gift. And it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means the ransom was paid. The sin debt was paid. So, what is it? It's righteousness from God. How do you receive it? By faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that comes in Christ Jesus. How does this work? This is my third question. It works by God's grace. It doesn't depend on us. It works by Jesus' substitution. Jesus takes our place. And he takes our place in life and in death. What do I mean? He lived a perfect life. Upheld the law. Never sinned. Pleased God in everything. Developed this massive heap of righteousness. And then he died the death we should have died. So he took our place in death. And he gave us his righteousness. He took upon himself our sin. So every bad thing I've ever done, every bad thing I ever will do, the punishment for that was put on Jesus. And I receive what he did for free. It's a grace gift. Receive this righteousness. So that's the third question. How does it work? And the fourth question is, how is this even possible?
You can
go to the next slide and then the next one. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That one, yeah. Okay, so in verse 25 and 26, it tells us that God put Jesus forward. God put Jesus on the altar. As a propitiation by his blood, meaning Jesus' blood was shed to pay the price of sin. So who made the sacrifice? The Father. The Father took the sacrificial lamb, his only son. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's the Heavenly Father that made the sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice. He took upon himself our sin and died in our place.
And
the Father was angry. His wrath was displayed. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he hung upon the cross and died the death he did not deserve. And in that moment, the Father poured out his wrath and anger about sin. On Jesus. The Father punished Jesus for our sin. Jesus went willingly to surrender his life. You see, you have to ask the question, how is it even possible that God can let us who are guilty go free? See, you guys have experienced times where the guilty go free. Maybe you've been guilty and you've gone free sometime and you know it wasn't justice. You just escaped somehow, you slipped through. Maybe it cost you a little bit of a charming smile, a conversation. I'm
going
to give you an example. It's happened to us before many times in Madagascar. The policeman stops you. He checks my car. Show me the papers. Yeah, they love papers in Madagascar. Bring me my God so I can worship the papers. Anyway, that's Madagascar. They worship paper. So the policeman looks and he says, "Your insurance is expired." Now you're in trouble. You're
going
to have to take away your papers and you'll have to go and pay the fine. And I said, they're like, sorry. And the guy talks a bit more and he drops a few hints because he wants you to pay a bribe. And it's hot today. I feel like a Coke. I'd love a Coke. All I have to do is give him a Coke.
And
I never have to spend half a day going into town to get my papers back to pay a fine. But you know, while we're still talking, he finds out, oh, you're a missionary. Then it's okay then, don't worry.
Okay, it's maninar kay.
Yeah, you can have your papers, you can go. Ah, I'm relieved. But no one was punished. I was guilty. I was guilty and my papers were expired. And the law prescribes that I pay a fine. So how did I escape? The policeman ignored the law.
Le polisia nieza kanste alala le lalana.
He looked the other way.
Njer tany am lalana tany am toerakafa izy.
He just pretended he could say, "Oh, I never saw that expired paper."
The afaka mod fotsiny izy, "Ah, saranga otra ny tsina hitany izany taratasy lantat izany."
That's a form of corruption. That's not justice. If the policeman was just, it would be a simple process. A righteous and just policeman doesn't negotiate for a bribe. He takes out the little paper, he writes the fine, and he brings the law and sends you to pay the fine in
town.
So we're accustomed to people looking the other way. We do something wrong, you know, and then our parents pretend it never happened. We plead with the policeman, please look the other way. But justice doesn't work like that. Justice says the guilty must be punished. So how is it possible that God could let us as the guilty ones go unpunished? And yet he remains just. He is our justifier. He gives us his righteousness and we are justified. But how can God remain just if he doesn't punish sin? He does punish sin. He punished Jesus. Jesus took our place. So imagine this is what really happened now. Because this is how the story would go if it was a heavenly analogy. The policeman stops you. Checks your papers. Says you are guilty. The fine must be paid. And you're like, oh no, I'm guilty. Have mercy. The policeman says, okay. I'm not going to look the other way. I'm not going to pretend that this didn't happen. I'm
going to
uphold justice and give you mercy. The policeman writes up the fine.
Your
name, you're guilty.
Then
the policeman takes out his own wallet.
Takes
his own money. Pays the fine.
And says,
now you justified, you can go. Go in peace.
Is that
ever happened to you in Madagascar?
No.
But that is what Jesus has done for us.
That's
what Jesus has done for us. He's upheld the law and paid the fine for us. God is both just
and
the justifier of sinners because he paid the price for
us.
Lastly, what are the consequences? At the end here, Paul says, what becomes of our boasting?
It's
the next one, verse 27. Oh, didn't I have it? Oh, is it there? It's this missing slide. There it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you
there
is you.
Okay, so what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded.
See,
God justifies us because of faith.
And
so whether you're a Jew or a Gentile,
whether
you upheld the law or you rejected the law, it makes no difference. Whether you were circumcised or uncircumcised makes no difference. The just are justified because of faith. Sorry, the sinner is the ones who become just. That's verse 28.
The
one is justified by faith apart from the law. But what does Paul mean now? Our boasting is excluded. Well, it becomes a question of what do you boast in. Paul boasted once in his life in being a Jew. But it couldn't save him. And we sometimes boast about our education. We boast about our status in society. We boast about our tribe. But all of those things where you found your identity and you found your hope, they couldn't save you. They don't deliver you. And so you can no longer put your confidence there. That's what boasting is. It's what you're confident about. We can no longer put confidence in our old identity. What do you boast about? The thing that is your strength. But when you realize your money fails you, doesn't matter what tribe you come from or if you're a Jew or a Greek, none of it gives you advantage with God. Your good works don't save you. So we cannot boast about any of that stuff. But we put our boast in Jesus. And so we're no longer separated. We're not separated from one another because of class or race.
Or
education level. Because you got nothing to boast about. Those things were all powerless. But we boast in Jesus. And then finally, the last verse. Verse 31. It says we uphold the law. Do we throw out the law because we don't need to do good works? Not at all. The law has always been good. But it's just been unable to save us. And so we no longer hope in the law. We're no longer under the condemnation of the law. We're actually free to uphold the law. Knowing that even if and when we fail, we are not condemned. So while you're trying to honor God, you're not afraid. You're not afraid of failure. Because you will never be punished and rejected. So now we uphold the law from a place of freedom. We're not above the law. And we're not under the law. We're just doing what pleases God. Knowing that He is already pleased with us in Christ Jesus. No longer a slave to fear. Free to fail. We can go and live a great life for God. Secure. Because of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. It shows us so much about the gospel. We want to put all our trust and our hope in Jesus. Jesus, that's what it means to believe in you. To have faith in the work of the cross. That your blood satisfied the wrath of God. And when we come to you and put our hope and our trust and our confidence in you, when we boast in you and not ourselves, what joy. What freedom. We're accepted. We're loved. The Father is pleased with us. This is good news indeed. Amen. Amen.